Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Mem Rabbi Avraham Goldarayan. Today, Masechet Shavuos, Daf Chav Tes, the third parak, Shavuos Shtayim. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the next Mishnah gives examples of a Shavuos Shav, a vain oath. Nishba Lushanos es Yodu La'adam. If one swore to contradict that which is known to people, Ulu explains that it's known to at least three people. For example, he swore about a stone pillar that is gold, that a man is a woman, or the reverse. Another example, Nishba al Dav She'ev Sholo. One who swore about something which is impossible, such as Imol Re'isi Gamo Shepareach Ba'avir, if I didn't see a camel flying in the air. The Mishnah adds that a shvuah not to perform a mitzvah, such as not to take a lulav on sukkahs or not to wear tefillin, is also a shvuah shav, since it's impossible to keep. The Gemara said, swearing, if I did not see a camel flying, is not a meaningful shvuah. And Abai amends the Mishnah to say that he swore shereisi, that I saw. Rava says he swore to prohibit all produce in the world on himself if he did not see a camel flying. Tosfos explains it's impossible for him to keep the shvuah. Point number two, Ravina asked Rav Ashi, why a shvuah about seeing a camel flying in the air is impossible? Perhaps he saw a large bird, which he called camel, and swore truthfully according to this intent. If you'll say, basa pume azlinim, we follow his words straightforward meaning, vo azlinim basa daita, and do not follow his private intent, this can apparently be disproven. A person swearing a basin is warned that he's not swearing according to his own intent, but according to Basin's intent. This is presumably because he may have given wooden chips to the lender, which he called coins, and the shvuah would be valid if not for Basin's warning. The Gemara answers that we're only concerned that he may deceive them with the plain meaning of the words, like the story of the cane of Rava, where a borrower filled a hollow cane with coins and handed it to the unsuspecting lender, and thus swore truthfully that he had given him coins. The Gemara asks a similar question from Moshe telling Klal Yisrael when they swore to accept the Torah, Du shu'al daitachem ani mashpiyatschem, el das hamakom al daiti. Know that I'm having you swear not according to your intent, rather according to Hashem's intent and my intent. This is presumably so they do not intend their shvuah to refer to an idol they call God. The Gemara ultimately explains that Moshe's purpose was so they could not annul their shvuah. And point number three, the next Mishnah teaches that the laws of shvuah's bitui apply to all people, including women, disqualified witnesses, and so on, and both inside and outside basin, mifi atzmo, provided the shvuah is expressed by his own mouth, not if someone said, I am a shpia you, if you ate or not, and he responded that he did or did not eat. The same is taught regarding a shvuah shav, except that the former is chayav a karban b'shogeg, and the latter is not. The Mishnah concludes, Hamushba mefi acherim chayiv, one who is adjured by others is chayiv, and explains that if one says, I did not eat today, or I did not wear tefillin today, and someone was mashpia him, and he said, Amen, he's chayiv. Shmuel said, Ko ona amen acher shvuah, anyone who answers Amen after a shvuah, kamotzi shvuah mepiv dami, is like expressing a shvuah with his own mouth, just like a sotim merely answers Amen to the shvuah of the kohen. This principle is proven from the beginning of the next parak and also from our mission, which first says that one must swear himself and concludes that if another is mashpia him, he's chayev. The difference must be whether he said amen or not. So once again, the three points are, number one, the next mission gives examples of a shvuah shav, a vain oath. Nishba Lushanos es Yodu La'adam, if one swore to contradict that which is known to people. Ulu explains that it's known to at least three people. For example, he swore about a stone pillar that is gold, that a man is a woman, or the reverse. Another example, Nishba al Dav She'ev Sholo. One who swore about something which is impossible, such as Imol Re'isi Gamo Shepareach Ba'avir, if I didn't see a camel flying in the air. The Mishnah adds that a shvuah not to perform a mitzvah, such as not to take a lulav on sukkahs or not to wear tefillin, is also a shvuah shav, since it's impossible to keep. The Gemara said, swearing, if I did not see a camel flying, is not a meaningful shvuah. And Abai amends the Mishnah to say that he swore shereisi, that I saw. Rava says he swore to prohibit all produce in the world on himself if he did not see a camel flying. Tosfos explains it's impossible for him to keep the shvuah. Point number two, Ravina asked Rav Ashi, why a shvuah about seeing a camel flying in the air is impossible? Perhaps he saw a large bird, which he called camel, and swore truthfully according to this intent. If you'll say, basa pume azlinim, we follow his words straightforward meaning, vo azlinim basa daita, and do not follow his private intent, this can apparently be disproven. A person swearing a basin is warned that he's not swearing according to his own intent, but according to Basin's intent. This is presumably because he may have given wooden chips to the lender, which he called coins, and the shvuah would be valid if not for Basin's warning. The Gemara answers that we're only concerned that he may deceive them with the plain meaning of the words, like the story of the cane of Rava, where a borrower filled a hollow cane with coins and handed it to the unsuspecting lender, and thus swore truthfully that he had given him coins. The Gemara asks a similar question from Moshe telling Klal Yisrael when they swore to accept the Torah. Du shu'al daitachem ani mashpiaschem el dasa makam al daiti. Know that I'm having you swear not according to your intent, rather according to Hashem's intent and my intent. This is presumably so they do not intend their shvuah to refer to an idol they call God. The Gemara ultimately explains that Moshe's purpose was so they could not annul their shvuah. And point number three, the next Mishnah teaches the laws of shvuah's bitui apply to all people, including women, disqualified witnesses, and so on, and both inside and outside basin, mifi atzmo, provided the shvuah is expressed by his own mouth, not if someone said, I am a shpia, you, if you ate or not, and he responded that he did or did not eat. The same is taught regarding a shvuah shav, except that the former is chayav a karban b'shogeg and the latter is not. The Mishnah concludes, Hamushba mefi acherim chayev, one who is adjured by others is chayev, and explains that if one says, I did not eat today, or I did not wear tefillin today, and someone was mashpia him, and he said, amen, he's chayev. Shmuel said, ko ona amen acher shvua, anyone who answers amen after a shvua, kamotzi shvua mepiv dami, is like expressing a shvua with his own mouth, just like a sotah merely answers amen to the shvua of the kohen. This principle is proven from the beginning of the next parak and also from our mission, which first says that one must swear himself and concludes that if another is mashpia him, he's chayev. The difference must be whether he said amen or not. All right, so now we go to our siman daf chav tes, and our standard siman is a kot. A kot. So here goes. The man who made a shvua that he saw a flying kot, who wasn't believed when he said he meant he saw a bird, which he nicknamed as kot, said amen when his friend was mashpia him not to sleep in on kots anymore. So once again, slow motion. The man who made a shvua that he saw a flying kot, that must be daf chav tes. The man who made a shvua that he saw a flying kot, which reminds us, the next Mishnah gives examples of a shvua shav. Nishba l'shanos as yodula adam. If one swore to contradict that which is known to people, who explains that it's known to at least three people. For example, he swore about a stone pillar that it's gold, that a man is a woman, or the reverse. Another example, nishba al-davar she'efshar lo. One who swore about something which is impossible, such as imori isi gamo shemporeach ba'avir. If I didn't see a camel flying in the air. So the man who made a shvua that he saw a flying kot, who wasn't believed when he said he meant he saw a bird, which he nicknamed as kot, which reminds us, Ravina asked Rav Ashi, why shvua about seeing a camel flying in the air is impossible? Perhaps he saw a large bird, which he called camel, and swore truthfully according to this intent. The Gemara answers, Basu Pume Azlinan. We follow his word's straightforward meaning, Vo Azlinan Basu Daite, and we do not follow his private intent. So the man who made a shvua that he saw a flying kot, who wasn't believed when he said he meant he saw a bird, which he nicknamed as kot, said amen when his friend was mashbihim not to sleep in on kots anymore, which reminds us, Shmuel said ko ona amen acher shvua, anyone who answers amen after a shvua, kamos shvua bepiv dami, is like expressing a shvua with his own mouth, just like a sota merely answers amen to the shvua of the kohen. So once again, the man who made a shvua that he saw a flying kot, who wasn't believed when he said he meant he saw a bird, which he nicknamed as kot, said amen when his friend was mashbihim him not to sleep in on kots anymore. All right, so now it's time for four blabach hazara. Daf Chav Hei. So the Simur Daf Chav Hei is the 25th Silver Wedding Anniversary. Things went from bad to worse at the 25th Silver Wedding Anniversary. 25th Silver Wedding Anniversary? That must be on Daf Chav Hei. Things went from bad to worse at the 25th Silver Wedding Anniversary Party, when the husband first tried to please his wife by making a shvua that he'll not fall asleep while she's talking to him, which reminds us that shvua's bitui even applies to dvarim she'ein behem mamish, matters which have no substance. The mission provides examples of this principle. One who swears she'ishan, that I'll sleep, or I will not sleep, or already did or did not sleep, which is intangible. So things went from bad to worse at the 25th Silver Wedding Anniversary Party, when the husband first tried to please his wife by making shvua that he'll not fall asleep while she's talking to him, and then swore to her that pony threw her gift ring into the sea, which reminds us, if someone falsely swore, Shazark pony tzorli yum, that pony threw a stone into the sea or did not, Rav says it obligates a carbon, since this shvua can be made belav vehein, both in the negative and in the positive form. Shmuel says he's putta because leisa belahaba, it lacks a valid future form, since swearing pony will or will not throw a stone is a shvua shav, a vain shvua, since that person's actions are out of his control. So things went from bad to worse at the 25th Silver Wedding Anniversary Party, when the husband first tried to please his wife by making a shvua that he'll not fall asleep while she's talking to him, and then swore to her that pony threw her gift ring in the sea, that even the aiding that he tried to bring refused to testify, falsely swearing b'mazi that they didn't see anything, which reminds the Gemara explains why the Torah created a category of Shavuos Ha'edus, which is included in Shavuos Bitui. According to Shmuel, it's understood why the Torah created a new category of Shavuos Ha'edus, because since it lacks a future form, one cannot swear that he will or will not know testimony, it would not obligate a carbon without this pasuk. According to Rav, the Gemara answers that the Torah taught this category, which does not save an elam and his sin was concealed from him, in contrast to other karbanos, to teach that Shavuos Ha'edus is uniquely liable for a carbon, even b'mezi. Daf Chavav. So the symbol Daf Chavav is a military coup. So here goes. When two soldiers from the military coup, that must be on Daf Chavav. When two soldiers from the military coup made a Shavua while arguing over maneuvers done in the past, which reminds us, the Gemara brings an explanation of the machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel, if a Shavua's bitui is also liable for the past. So when two soldiers in the military coup made a shvua while arguing over maneuvers done in the past, each swearing that the general had instructed them to do it their way, which reminds us, a braisa darshans the juxtaposition of the words adam b'shvua, a person in an oath, implying he is fully cognizant of his shvua, which teaches prat la'anus, to exclude one who faultlessly swore falsely because he thought he was swearing the truth. An example is given from an incident of Rav Kahana and Rav Asi, who disagreed about what Rav had said in a shir, and each swore Shuasa Dahachi Amar Rav, an oath that Rav said this way. When Rav later told them who was correct, the other asked if he had sworn falsely. Rav told him, your heart compelled you to swear, and you mistakenly believed you were swearing truthfully. So when two soldiers in the military coup made a shvua while arguing over maneuvers done in the past, each swearing that the general had instructed them to do it their way, a third soldier who was thinking about making a shvua was not bound by it because he never verbalized it, which reminds us, Shmuel said, Gamar b'libo, even if one decided in his mind to swear, Sarik shiyotzi b'svasav, he must express it with his lips for it to be effective, because the pasuk says, levata b'svasaim, uttering with his lips. Daf Chav Zayin, so the Simur Daf Chav Zayin is a kazoo, so here goes. At the kazoo parade where kids blew their kazoos, when the band leader made a shvua, kaimas a mitzvah, but did not fulfill it, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, nishba levatlos a mitzvah, if one swore to violate a mitzvah, and he did not, he's exempt from shvua's bitui liabilities. If one swore a kayim to fulfill a mitzvah, and did not, it's a malchok, sanakama, and Reb Yudah ben Misera, if he's chayav. So at the kazoo parade where kids blew their kazoos, when the band leader made a shvua kaimitz a mitzvah, but did not fulfill it, one man spotted a cake float and made two back-to-back kazoo-blown oaths not to eat it. Shul ochal ugazu, shul ocholena, which reminds the Gemara explains the difference between shvua shul ochal and shvua shul ocholena. Rav said, the one who swears shvua shul ochal kikrazu, an oath that I will not eat this loaf, is chayv as soon as he eats a kazais, which is the standard eating shiur. But one who swears shvua shul ocholena, and note that I will not eat it, is chayv only for eating the entire loaf. Therefore, if he first swore, I will not eat it, and then swore, I will not eat the loaf, the first only prohibits eating its entirety, and the second prohibits even a kazais, and is therefore effective. So, at the kazoo parade where kids blew their kazoos, when the band leader made a shvua, a kaimitz a mitzvah, but did not fulfill it, one man spotted a cake float and made two back-to-back kazoo blown oaths not to eat it, shuocha ugazu, shuocha lena, only to learn that if he gets a heter for the first shvua, the second one still buzzes into effect, which reminds us, the Gemara asks why the Mishnah discussed one who made three successive shvuas, when the same law can be taught with two shvuas. It answers that the extra case teaches, there's no liability for the redundant shvua, but the shvua is there and not void, so that if he later finds a space to take effect, it takes effect. Rava taught the Navka Mina is that if he requests a heter for the first shvua, the second takes effect on him in its stead. Daf Chav Ches, so the Simur Daf Chav Ches is a strong man, koach. So here goes. At the gym, the strong man, that must be on Dav Chav Ches, Koach. At the gym, the strong man got a heter from his rabbi for eating a high-carb loaf he had sworn off, since a kazai still remained, which reminds us, on the previous Dav, Rava said that if one swore not to eat a particular loaf, and he ate it, then if a kazai of it remains, he can request to annul the shvua, but not if he ate the entire loaf. Two interpretations are given, the first one being, the case is one who swore shvua ochal, that I will not eat this loaf. Although eating the first kazais already violates the shvua, he can still annul the shvua if a kazais remains, because since the request for a heter is effective for him for the final kazais, the request is also effective retroactively for him for the first kazais, although it no longer exists. So at the gym, the strong man got a heter from his rabbi for eating a high-carb loaf he had sworn off, since Akazai still remained, then swore not to eat one loaf if he ate another, which reminds us, Rava discusses one who swore at Shavuot Shavuot Chol Kikur Zu, Imo Chol Zu, a note that I will not eat this loaf if I eat that loaf, whereby one is the Isser, the potentially forbidden loaf, and the other is the Tanai, the conditional loaf whose eating triggers the Shavuot. The Shavuot comes into effect when he eats one of the loaves. Therefore, if he forgot the Shavuot at that time, the Shavuot is void because the requirement of Ha'adam B'Shavuot is not fulfilled. Rava discusses four cases. So at the gym, the strong man got a heter from his rabbi for eating a high-carb loaf he had sworn off, since Akazai still remained, then swore not to eat one loaf if he ate another, while his health-conscious gym buddy grunted through a double shvua, swearing off 9 donuts and then swearing not to eat 10, which reminds us, Avimi asked about one who swore not to eat 10 figs and then swore not to eat 9. If he answered, he's only chayav once. Avimi said he was mistaken because the first shvua still allows him to eat 9. Thus, the second shvua prohibits something new and takes effect. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which stuff do you explain the malchokas of Isser Kol, comparing it to an Isser Mosiv, such as one who ate nevela, which he had made hekdish? That's on daf Chavdalet. Good. Number 2. Which stuff do we learn that anyone who answers Amen after a shvua, kamotzi shvua mepiv dame, is like expressing a shvua with his own mouth? That's on daf Chavtas. Good. Number 3. Which stuff do we have an explanation of the machlokas between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel if a shvuah's bitui is also liable for the past? That's on daf Chavav. Good. Number 4. Which stuff do we discuss if someone swears Shazark Poni Tzroel Yom, that someone threw a stone into the sea, whether he's chayav a carbon? That's on daf Chavhe. Good. Number 5. Which stuff do you discuss why the Torah created a category of shvuah's edus, which is included in shvuah's bitui? That's on daf Cafe. Good. Number 6. Which stuff do we learn that when one swears he saw a flying camel, we do not say he saw a large bird, which he calls camel? That's on daf Chavtes. Good. Number 7. Which stuff do we discuss when swearing not to drink wine, oil, or honey is considered separate shvuos? That's on daf Chav Gimel. Good. Number 8. Which stuff do you discuss examples of a shvua shav? For example, one who swore about something which is impossible, such as seeing a camel flying in the air. That's on daf Chav Tes. Good. Number 9. Which stuff do we discuss how a shvua not to eat forbidden foods like nevela takes effect? That's on daf Chav Gimel. Good. Number 10. Which stuff do we learn about one who makes successive shvuas, and then if he gets a heter for the first shvua, the second one takes effect? That's on daf Chav Zayin. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichru, wishing you a great day and great learning.